Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't talk, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Coon to Spouting Off. Glad to be with you on this 2 weeks before Election Day, the midterms. We've been talking about the midterms for, gosh, a year, 2 years. This is Karen Cataline. Happy that you're with us. Welcome aboard. It's Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. If you're listening to this show on some other day, you'll know when this show was taped. But if you're listening live, welcome aboard. If you'd like to join us, you can call me toll-free at 888-627-6008 or call me direct, 323-744-4831. Yes, we are 2 weeks before the midterms, exactly 2 weeks away, Tuesday, November 6th. And oh my, the prognosticators have gone crazy, as they always do. They always think they know, but nobody knows until we know. Let me tell you what my theory is, and I am cautiously optimistic. I'm not real big on betting in Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas, by the way. I love Las Vegas. I grew up enjoying Las Vegas, but you know what I love about Las Vegas? The neon. I'm a buff about Las Vegas neon lights, especially the ones that were the old 80-foot neon signs of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. I date myself. But there's nothing like Las Vegas neon. And now, of course, you know there's a Las Vegas neon museum, and I've watched as they've refurbished these old signs like the Silver Slipper. And you think that I've completely lost track of what I was going to say, but indeed I have not. I'm just going off on a tangent because I want to. So the midterms are happening in 2 weeks. And the reason that I'm not a big gambler in Las Vegas is because I like to deal with facts, not with, I'm going to bet on this and here's what I think might happen. But I will tell you that I am cautiously optimistic about the midterms. Anything can happen, and it is very important that people remember how wrong people were on the polls in 2016. The Democrats are still whining and complaining and rioting about it because they never lack for anything to whine, complain, and riot about. But just don't believe a word you hear. Go out and vote, go out and vote, go out and vote, especially if you're voting Republican, because we cannot afford to have these Democrats in power. We've seen how they are when they don't get their own way. So here's my theory about what I think generally is going to happen in the midterms and why I think a good many of the prognosticators are wrong. Now, I'm doing what I said I wasn't going to do, which is I'm going to make a mild prediction, and I could be wrong, too. But many people, many, many people, when they finally went into that voting booth in 2016, took a chance on Donald Trump. They didn't have a clue. This was the most blind faith vote they could have made. And when the chips were down, they could not vote for crooked Hillary. The facts, the evidence of the level of corruption and lies and just downright disingenuousness of Hillary Clinton, they could not bring themselves to, quote unquote, pull the lever for Hillary Clinton. And a good many people weren't happy with Donald Trump either. He never bothered me. I love his brashness. I lived in New York for 13 years, and I get him. I don't fully 100% get him, but I got him a lot sooner than a lot of other people that I know did. And I wasn't that worried. I was hoping and praying he would win. But I thought he would be extraordinary. Even I could not have guessed how extraordinary he's been, how phenomenally persistent, how unbelievably unflappable. And I'll get to that in a moment. But here's what I think. I think that the voters who did take a chance on Trump, and people always like to be right, now have a track record for Donald Trump. They've seen not even in 2 years what he is capable of, and he's capable of a whole lot more. You think they're going to abandon him now? They voted for him, and he's turned out to be better, stronger, more principled in terms of his policy, more clear in terms of his vision, more able to deliver on the exact promises that he made than anybody ever could have guessed. And he said this in his rally yesterday. He said that he's produced, and that is exactly what a capitalist says. They hire somebody and they expect them to produce. If they don't produce, guess what? You're fired. So forgive me. I have that little buggy little frog in my throat. So the media consistently has proven to be the corrupt liars that they are. I wrote a blog post just this morning because I was inspired about the Houston rally last night. This is the one, if you're listening to the podcast some other time, and it's still relevant. It was hugely, there was a hugely enthusiastic crowd, thousands upon thousands, apparently 100,000 people wanted tickets to this event. And I have a picture on my Facebook page. If you want to go there now, this is the picture that the media doesn't want you to see. It's the picture that Donald Trump is always complaining about that the media refuses to take, about the thousands upon thousands of people waiting outside that couldn't get in. And he's right about the crowds. The crowds are astounding. They were astounding in 2016, and they still are. So I wrote a piece called The Indefatigable, I love saying that word, Indefatigable Donald Trump. It is currently featured at the top of my website on the blog. And of course, there's an archive there of all the blog posts, all the op-eds, and the podcasts of Spouting Off. So if you want to go to KarenCataline.com, you'll be able to see all of my Spouting Off in print and in voice. But this one was called The Indefatigable Donald Trump. So just in time for the midterms, more people than ever are figuring it out that the left and the media, which is one and the same, have been lying about Donald Trump all along. This is the first line of my piece. You can read the rest of it. I'm not going to read it to you here online. It's much more fun to talk to you kind of impromptu and what's on my mind right now. So not only do I think the track record is in Donald Trump's favor because he actually delivers on what he's going to say. But here's the other thing. The left's credibility is shot, honestly. Anybody who's a fair-thinking human being ought to remember, people have very short memories in politics, but anybody who's been watching politics on any level, you know, they all can't be junkies like you and me. They've been watching the media demonize him, mock him, defame him, frame him, call him unfit, call him inept, call him mentally ill. By the way, a lot of those things are completely contradictory. Can he be unfit, inept, mentally ill, and conniving, and so brilliant that he's conning everybody? This is what they always do. I call that linguine on the wall. Whatever they can do to defame him and have it stick. Not very long ago, they were calling this man, who has accomplished more in less than 2 years than even probably Ronald Reagan in that amount of time, because Ronald Reagan was not an outsider. the way Donald Trump is. Ronald Reagan had become an insider in politics. The establishment didn't like him either, but not to the extent that they hate and despise Donald Trump. So think about it. If you have been listening to people, and all you ever listen to is CNN, MSNBC, and on and on and on, ad infinitum of the left and the media, they've been telling you just a whole bunch of stuff that is not true. As they tell you what an unfit, incompetent, racist, bigot, misogynist he is, you keep seeing, if you have any guts at all, the evidence of how wrong they are. They were wrong all along, and they're even wronger, I say that on purpose, now. They are more wrong now than ever before. You're seeing the evidence. Of course, the stock market is way down today, but in general, the stock market has gone nuts. Donald Trump, as you know, has unleashed the economy in a way that politicians always said they were going to do, but of course, they never do it. In fact, they want you to believe it's impossible, because who's getting their palms greased? The swamp. The swamp is awash not in slime. From alligators, they're awash in slimy money. That's what they're awash in. And Donald Trump isn't even taking a salary. You think the Democrats are going to tell you that constantly? No, they never do, because they've tried to characterize him as everything evil they could think of, from being greedy, from being a con artist, from being all of that. Is he perfect? No. But compared to them, he's pretty damn great. I am thrilled with Donald Trump. Not only, and I'll tell you the thing I'm most thrilled about, I just can't say it enough. The level of persistence and fight in this man, it's what seems to animate him. It's what seems to get him going. And this country was having the fight kicked out of it before Donald Trump came on the scene. Talk about the misery index, like in Jimmy Carter's era. This country was being told that we could not expect a GDP more than 2%, and now we're up over 4.2. This country was being told that we had to accept totally open borders. And by the way, I have a wonderful guest, and we're going to be talking about that caravan making its way from Guatemala to America. So we're going to, well, we hope not. So we're going to talk about that with a wonderful guest that we've had on before. We were told a lot of things that weren't true. We were told that the Iran deal was a terrific, marvelous, wonderful deal, and it was going to help us. It was a lie. It was a con. So as we know, and I've said it before, the left is always accusing conservatives and everyday citizens of precisely the kind of corruption and racism, by the way, that they are guilty of. So I was telling you that among the things I love about Donald Trump best is his persistence and his role modeling of persistence and fight back. The Republicans have been a bunch of weenies. And if they weren't weenies, they were probably corrupt. And they didn't really believe some of the free market, limited government ideas that grassroots Republicans sent them there to affect. They didn't do any of that. But Donald Trump seems to be animated. He seems to enjoy the opposition and the adversity. And never has a president been thrown more adversity from everyone. I don't have to repeat it. But compare and contrast the amount of adversity that Donald Trump has seen from the media and the amount of adversity that was thrown to Barack Obama, his predecessor. It's quite amazing. The media was covering for Obama. The media was getting a thrill up their leg over Obama, and they were having, as Bernard Goldberg says, a slobbering love affair with Obama. In this case, the extremes are ridiculous. Now, the average citizen who hasn't gone to an Ivy League school, which actually I went to, grad school, but hasn't been indoctrinated to such a degree, knows and can tell the truth about this. The people that can't tell the truth about it are the media and the left. They can't tell the truth about one successful thing Donald Trump has done, and they can't tell the truth about the fact that they've been lying about him all along. So Donald Trump is modeling for the grassroots conservatives and other Trump voters, many of them weren't Republicans at all. He's modeling for them the kind of persistence and resilience that he stands for. I've got to quote you this. I didn't find the audio, so I'm just going to repeat it. Last night, and he said this a lot in his rallies, the man has energy like you wouldn't believe. I mean, compare the energy between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. It's really mind-boggling. This man has endless amounts of enthusiasm and energy and fight and vision. My goodness, he's what America produced because of American exceptionalism and American values. So here's what Donald Trump said. We will not bend. We will not break. We will never give in. We will never give up, and we will never back down. We will never surrender, and we will always fight on to victory. You know what that was reminiscent of? It sounds just like Churchill. Churchill, the British leader, as if people have forgotten that Barack Obama hated him so much that he removed the bronze bust of Churchill from the White House. And Donald Trump brought it back, not just in statue, but in spirit. Donald Trump has brought back the spirit of Winston Churchill. It's quite astounding. So I'm encouraged. I'm not encouraged in every part of the country. I think there's some tough races, but there's something else that is quite exciting. And that is, we've finally found a slogan as wonderful as Make America Great Again. And that slogan is jobs, not mobs. Now, on my Facebook page, you'll see a visual. The only reason I didn't pull the audio for you is because the visual commercial is so great. And it's the best political commercial of the season. Just go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/KarenCataline. You can friend me there. As long as I know where you came from, I'll friend you back. Or Twitter, I'll follow you back. And I'd like to increase my Twitter numbers, so it would be nice for you to find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook. You can go to my website and find all that there, those little links to things. There's even a green frog for a new one that we're hoping will get off the ground, but we don't know if it's going to get off the ground yet. Nonetheless, we are seeing this wonderful ad called Jobs Not Mobs. Never has there been a clearer contrast. The left, we're seeing unprecedented, and talk about outrageous incivility. We're finding it from U.S. senators themselves. I don't have to tell you, or maybe I do, about Hillary Clinton saying in an interview that they can be civil once they get back power. They're not going to be civil until they get power back. Well, that's what the left is all about. They're about power. It's quite astounding to watch. It's one thing to see violence and rioting And this ad shows it in stunning color detail, the difference. But when you have elected officials inciting violence, that's a crime. It's like yelling fire in a crowded theater. It's a crime. Do they get punished? Do they get held accountable for any of these crimes? Well, they haven't seemed to yet. And I think that's one of the reasons why the public, everyday grassroots people like you and me, are so aggravated and angry and frustrated, because there seems to be a two-tier justice system in this country, one for them and one for us. We couldn't possibly get away with inciting violence in the streets. We can't. We couldn't. We would be accessories to violence, accessories to a crime. And yet, look at what happened after the Kavanaugh hearings. I will never stop talking about that, because after the Kavanaugh hearings, you had elected United States senators allowing people they knew were going to disrupt a hearing of the most utmost importance. See, I didn't say that right. A hearing of solemnity and of importance. One of the most important jobs of the Senate Judiciary Committee is to give advice and consent on Supreme Court justice nominations by the president. These U.S. senators were colluding, to use a word, with activists to disrupt that hearing. That's unconscionable. But there's been so much unconscionable behavior that we've seen, and it's only gotten worse. 2 weeks before the midterms, that's the one thing I can't wait for it to be over, is just to have a modicum of sanity in the insane world of politics. But you know, a couple of weeks or so, and certainly a couple months, it starts much more than that, to see the incivility, the craziness, the October surprises, the hysteria that happens before an election. And make no mistake about it, this midterm is very, very important. You just can't underestimate it, I don't think. Excuse me, overestimate it. You can't overestimate it, because these Democrats, their hair is on fire to such an extent that you have Democrats running for office, like the one in Texas, claiming that if he gets elected, he'll vote for impeachment. My question is, what did the president do to warrant impeachment? They've gotten themselves up in such a frenzy. They've talked their base into the fact that Donald Trump deserves impeachment. You know what he deserves impeachment for? Winning an election. That's what he deserves impeachment for. Winning an election. He deserves impeachment for showing up politicians. He deserves impeachment for actually keeping his promises. He deserves his impeachment for doing what he said he was going to do, for lowering taxes, for increasing the stock market and the economy, and actually showing that politicians have been lying to us all along. So, civility in politics, it doesn't go both ways. The people that need civility in politics are the Democrats. Now, I have this other blog post I got to tell you about. I have this other blog post. It's about a national radio program that I was invited to call a producer about. And it's sponsored by NPR, National Public Radio. So you know that the motives are left of center, if not more so. And it looks at the state of our current polarization, examines how it got that way, and how it may be damaging our country. Now, I knew darn well as soon as I saw this notice. It's called Purple State, and it has to do with Colorado, which many people say is a purple state. And so this woman, I knew they were going to make a moral equivalence, that the left and the right are equally uncivil. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. The left and the right aren't even remotely equally uncivil. In fact, when the Democrats act insane and crazy and incite violence and then apologize for their violence, they blame Donald Trump and the language he used during the campaign almost 2 years ago to say that that's the reason they're misbehaving. Well, gee, didn't your mother tell you that you don't get to blame other people for your misbehavior and your unethical behavior and your violence? You don't get to say, well, it's because this guy said something bad to me. So they would like you to think that their violence is perfectly justified because Donald Trump uses colorful language. And because Donald Trump is colorful, Donald Trump can be offensive, no question about it. But you think the left, Hollywood left, can't be offensive? I mean, really, there is a double, triple, quadruple standard there. So, along with the fascist tactics of the left, we have a Democrat Party that embraces socialism, which is the antithesis of everything the country has been founded upon. So do they want us to compromise by giving in? This is what I said in my blog. Do they want us to compromise by giving in to a little bit of socialism? You know, we've been doing that for decades. And look where it got us. It got us here. It's also a mistake. And then I got a break. It's a mistake to think that a moderate of today is anything like a moderate of, say, 4 or 5 decades ago. It's simply not true. The center today, because the entire timeline has moved all the way to the left, the center is way further left today than a moderate was 4 or 5 decades ago. More left of center than a liberal was 4 or 5 decades ago. As you may remember, John F. Kennedy, listen to any of his speeches and you don't know it's John F. Kennedy, you'll think it's a center-right Republican, not a radical. It's not true. So anybody who calls themselves a moderate doesn't really know what they stand for, because a moderate today, if you just were in the middle of what you thought were the two so-called extremes, you're going to be way left of center than you were 3-4 decades ago. So we can't afford to compromise with socialists because, you know, what are we going to do? It's like having a little bit of pregnancy, like being a little bit pregnant. You're going to have a little bit of socialism. We already have a lot of socialism. The principles of free markets, limited government, all those things are absolutely essential to everything we hold dear in this country. They are essential to what made America great and what Donald Trump wants to make America great again. And he's doing it through free market principles, limited government. He's lowering regulations everywhere and proving that he's taking the shackles off small business. That's how you do it. And then you have to explain it to people so they understand, because the left has completely indoctrinated the young into thinking that socialism is just another option. It is not an option. It's not an option for America, and it's proven not to be an option for any country around the world that's tried it. So as you know, that's where I've been coming from for a while. But I have to break, because when we come back, we're going to have on the program the second time Maria Espinoza, the national director of the Remembrance Project. She is a wonderful spokesperson and knowledgeable about illegal immigration, about some of the terrible pitfalls of illegal immigration. And we're going to ask her about this caravan that's making its way towards America that nobody seems to understand what's going on there. So when I come back, we will have Maria Espinoza with us. Stay tuned for a commercial break. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off.
Hi. I'm Corinne, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arne, on the threat of bureaucratic despotism.
One of the chief sponsors of the Dodd-Frank finance reform bill called that legislation, quote, about as important as it gets, because it deals with every single aspect of our lives, end quote. And how does this legislation deal with every aspect of our lives? In the most unconstitutional way. It sets up a board called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has the power to regulate our economic transactions independently of both the President and Congress. In other words, permanent government employees are placed in charge of us beyond the control of those we elect, the control of we the people. This is a violation of the representative form of government without which there can be no constitutional government.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. Thanks for staying with us. I am delighted to have with us, for the second time I've interviewed her, what a knowledgeable and what an important subject that she is really quite the spokesperson and the expert on. Maria Espinoza, the National Director of the Remembrance Project, which honors and remembers Americans and legal residents who've been killed by illegal aliens. Welcome to Spouting Off, Maria Espinoza.
Have me on again.
Oh, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. Can you say a little bit more about the Remembrance Project in case people didn't hear the last time I had you on, a little bit more about yourself and how you began the Remembrance Project?
Would like to do that. Thank you. We started the Remembrance Project, and I say we, my husband Tim Ling and myself, we started the Remembrance Project in 2009. And, you know, Karen, it just happened that we were watching the evening news where they reported about a Houston police officer who had been killed during a sting operation by an illegal alien. But what was key in that report was that they mentioned another police officer the year before who was killed, again, by an illegal alien. He was shot 4 times in the back of the head. And his wife, you know, terrible. You know, totally preventable, don't carry. His wife had filed a lawsuit against the city of Houston, and that's what caught our attention. And we thought, you know, what warranted a lawsuit? What went wrong in a terrible as an in-line-of-duty death? You know, this Houston police officer, Ronnie Johnson is his name. We wondered why the lawsuit, and after some research, we learned that the lawsuit was filed because of the sanctuary city policies in Houston, Texas. And first time we'd heard about them. So our research led us to see that they're that the illegal aliens basically are untouchable in here in the United States. And we thought certainly there had to be other killings by people who shouldn't be here in the first place. And we expanded our search for more victims, and it was Houston and Texas and then all across the United States. And we found that there was an epidemic of killings of Americans by illegal aliens, and that's what got us started. My background is that I'm a Texan, first generation on my dad's side. Dad was born in Mexico and came here the right way, and we were, for the most part, raised in Texas, spent some time up in the Northwest, and, you know, here we are, though, Karen. I mean, we're just two people watching the evening news, and we got to work on something that we thought was very wrong, and we wanted to make that right. And we also created the Stolen Lives quilt banners, which during the presidential campaign in 2015, 2016, and all, 17, of course, after President Donald Trump was elected, you know, if you saw the Angel Moms and Dads on stage with President with Donald Trump, you know, that's our organization, the Angel families, you know, we
yes.
memorialize their loved ones. And that was a way that we could actually tell the public what was going on. And, you know, once the headlines disappeared of these tragedies, you know, we found that the families were just left alone and had
yeah,
so many questions.
Those stories became a huge part of the campaign of 2016. Mm-hmm. We got to see those families, and that was important. And, you know, God love Donald Trump for making illegal immigration such a huge issue in the campaign, the wall and all of that. I brought you on very specifically because I knew you would have thoughts and opinions and everything else about this caravan that's coming up from Guatemala and Honduras. Can you give us any inside information as to what most people are just, you know, conjecturing, if that's a verb, as to what exactly, who's behind it, and what do you think is going on there? I mean, all we see is the outside story, but what do you know, if anything?
Right, that caravan is the second caravan, and this group actually left San Pedro Sula, Honduras, on, I think it was October 11th or so, maybe not that soon, hold on, maybe the 17th there, I'm getting my weeks mixed up, but they left Honduras okay. right after Vice President Pence met with the leaders, presidents of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, and, you know, during that meeting, if you read the newspapers there, Vice President Pence asked these countries to please tell their people to, you know, not to put their families in danger, do not attempt to cross into the United States illegally. And, of course, here you have it. The day after Vice President Pence met with these leaders, the next day it started out with 160, then 1,600 citizens from Honduras making their way up through to Guatemala, and, you know, they've just increased now to about 7,000, and they're in Mexico now. You know, in my opinion, Karen, is that certainly the Democrats with their open borders, you know, come all, take care of illegal aliens, get them on social benefits, they can vote to open up our borders. You know, that obviously is encouraging this type of unlawful crossing and, you know, this terrible behavior that we're seeing, as if it's okay to invade another country, and that's what's taking place here. So
it's like breaking into somebody's house. Of course.
Exactly.
But I want to know, Maria, if you know, and then I wouldn't necessarily expect you to know, but that's one of the reasons I couldn't wait to talk to you, is who's feeding these people? Who's housing these people? Who's funding these people? You don't walk across a country without
right.
A whole bunch of financial backing. I heard a report, I don't know if it's true, that they're pushing $400 baby strollers and talking on their cell phones.
Right.
I want to know, Who's financing them?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that if we dig deep enough here, and maybe not so deep, I think that you'll find the Soros money. I think that you'll find,
certainly
those same supporters who are supporting the Democrats. And this election, obviously, it's very obvious that this second caravan is taking place right before the midterms. So, you know, they're going to have all the cameras right at the border where these illegal aliens are attempting to cross. You can count on that, Karen, that this is definitely supported by the same type of people, the open borders that support the Democrat Party.
Yeah, but what that tells me, and I'm not the first person to say this, in fact, Donald Trump said it at the rally last night, is how incredibly, unbelievably, I'm paraphrasing, misguided, and how out of touch with the general public the Democrats must be if they're the ones that are funding this. Because to do this 2 weeks before the election, when Donald Trump's one of his biggest campaign promises is to get tough on illegal immigration. What a stupid move, if that's what they did. It's almost as stupid as unleashing riots after the Kavanaugh hearings and expecting that the public is going to be all sympathetic with that. Do you think they're really that misguided?
I think so. I think they're out of touch. But a good point
totally
you made,
out
though.
Of touch.
We've heard, Karen, that there are American organizations that are helping either fund for this caravan or assisting them with housing and feeding them. So I know that the administration is looking into that. And one thing that we're also asking is for these organizations, and our government needs to really do some digging on this, because we are funding, the American taxpayer is funding organizations that are anti-America, anti-government,
yes,
and looking to overthrow our government. I'm sure that the American taxpayer would not be happy to learn that this is what's taking place. We're funding our own demise, and this has gone on for decades. But, you know, at this point, where we have organizations like the Remembrance Project, that I am a volunteer still. And, you know, we're just trying to make ends meet to do the right thing and raise awareness and protect, you know, what we thought, American lives. And that's the most egregious of all, this immigration issue and what is taking place. You know, we can't keep up with the carnage all across the United States, that this is happening all the time. And really, Karen, you know, our politicians need to ask the question of how many more, or maybe, pardon me, we have to ask these politicians the question, how many more American lives are they okay with being lost and, you know, murdered, basically?
They don't seem to care. They
collateral.
They can go crazy over Jamal Khashoggi because they're concerned. They hope, I didn't even get to this in my monologue, so I'm going to just throw this out. The media goes bananas about one issue, and we don't know all the circumstances with that, because they hope it'll be Trump's new Benghazi. They feel guilty about having completely ignored Benghazi, so they know what Obama was guilty of in Benghazi, and so they're trying to create Trump's Benghazi. The circumstances are drastically different. And so all of a sudden they're horrified by the murder of Khashoggi, but they're not horrified by the murder of everyday citizens like Kate Steinle and many others who've been murdered simply because an illegal alien shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right. You know,
that's
and it
what
goes
you
pretty
deal
deep
with.
When we have exactly. And you know, what we're looking at here is really the flooding and erasing of our borders. They're just sending people over here that don't think the same. They come from chaos, and they bring chaos with them. You know,
that's
just
true.
This year, there's been 161,000 family units that have been apprehended, and only 1.4% are repatriated, and that was at last 2017. You know, so we're looking at a 42% higher than the previous year record on this surge is 42% higher than last year.
Let me go back for a second, Maria, to this caravan. some people have suggested, and I think it's true, because this is what the left does. They seem to want to provoke violence. They are going to storm our borders. And then when somebody like Donald Trump puts his foot down, sends the military, sends the National Guard, whatever he does, and puts his faith in ICE to send these people back home, kind of like, again, people breaking into your house, you have a right to defend yourself and your home. They're going to smear him by saying he was cruel and mean. And I think they're angling for a fight. Do you think that's part of it too?
Right. And again, I think the cameras are going to be front and center. You know, most of these individuals in the caravan are military age men. You know, they've placed the women and children up front. But, you know, remember this also, that our friends at Judicial Watch published an article on October 18th about the 100 ISIS terrorists that were caught in Guatemala. So this is right before the caravan took off. So, you know, this is a very dangerous situation. You know, this is a national security situation, and the Democrats certainly are trying to use that as if the United States, of course, President Donald Trump, if he takes action, just like any other leader in any country,
yes,
has to protect its borders. And, you know, there he's going to be under a microscope. He did mention some information where last night during his rally in Houston that he is talking with Texas leadership on, you know, to forming a wall of some sort of protection. So we'll see what happens there. But he absolutely,
yeah,
has a right to protect our country.
Does anybody ever think that Donald Trump doesn't have the courage to see this through and do the right thing? I think we've seen enough of Donald Trump to know that he absolutely does, and he will do the right thing. You notice two issues, and we're running out of time, but we do have, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left. Two issues about this that are absolutely critical. One is that this so-called caravan is diverting its direction, going miles and miles and miles out of their way to avoid, mm-hmm, Texas and avoid Arizona so they can go to California, which is clearly a sanctuary city. And if you could speak to the frightening number of unknown terrorists that come through that border that are totally and completely unvetted. Brigitte Gabriel talks about it at some length, and I don't know how,
right,
much you talk about it. I'm sure that you do.
Right, right. And so, now one clarification there, Karen, because Texas is receiving a lot of these family units coming across, and they've asked for help because they're overwhelmed there. Manny Padilla is the Border Patrol chief there down in the McAllen area, the RGV, Rio Grande Valley. So, yeah, we're getting them as well. But you're right. They are going to go to a more liberal area, which is California.
Texas. So, you know, just as they come in through California.
Else in the United States, because they won't
show
up for the
Once
court
they're in, they'll go anywhere. They can go anywhere they want.
And, you know, Karen, we have to place blame.
There isn't a country in the world that does this except America.
Exactly.
There isn't a country that the left expects to do this but America. It's really stunning. Sorry, I'm getting worked up. So
no, I understand. But now we have to place blame on Congress as well, because there,
yes,
has been nearly 950 bills introduced in our 15th Congress. Not one bill was passed for immigration. It's all just lip service once again. You know, why are they stalling? I think because they're hoping that President Trump will not act, hoping maybe that they don't mind for the Democrats to win. Some of these, even Republicans,
yep,
are those moderates that they're
globalists.
They're beholden to
part of it is they're globalists. All their hatred of Donald Trump, I think, they're being quite disingenuous, because it isn't his style, it isn't his language, it isn't even that, oh, this reprobate is not going to, shouldn't be the head of the Republican Party. It's that they are globalists, and they don't like the nationalism of Donald Trump, who unabashedly spoke up last night and said, I'm a nationalist. I believe in America and in American security and American interests. That's how it used to be when America was great. We stood up for Americans. At one point, Democrats did too, but not anymore.
Well, they have the Walk Away movement here in D.C. too. That's coming out this weekend. I won't be here. I'll be on a panel in Pennsylvania. But you know, the Democrats who do are patriotic. They subscribed to the old Democrat Party that's no longer there. But you're right. But so now we have to take a look at this. Now, this upcoming election here is very important for your listeners.
Yes.
To go out and vote for those candidates who will support America, protect our borders, enforce existing laws, and not get on the bandwagon of all these globalist and open borders groups who have not sold out
the
American
people. No, I think
the people
that brought Donald Trump to the White House, the people that brung him there to the dance, they're the ones who knew. Donald Trump just listened to the public. Donald Trump was paying attention to the general public that has to put up with that. We don't pay for armed guards and fences and gates in front of our house so we can tell everyone else that they have to accept open borders in this country. It's great to be generous with other people's money and other people's security. So I think that's the reason, one of the big reasons Donald Trump is president right now,
right,
is
Donald,
because of this immigration issue.
And Donald Trump was the only candidate who reached out to the Remembrance Project and our families, and we were just up in the White House
yep.
the end of June with a press conference with him. So he is continuing to hold to his promises during the campaign, and we have to support him. And I would ask your listeners to call and ask President Trump to protect our borders any way that he sees fit that's within his power. And that phone number is 202-456-1111, and let President Trump know that you support him.
Yes, and the other thing we can do is protect our president, Donald Trump, because God forbid the Democrats take over the House. You know what they're going to do. I don't think they'll be successful, but they will try to stop the entire agenda of Donald Trump, including up to and including, they say they're going to try to impeach him. For what? Mm-hmm. I don't know. For actually showing leadership. In the minute we have left, could you tell us how we can support you and the Remembrance Project?
Thank you, Karen. Yes, you can go to our website, theremembranceproject.org, and make a donation. It's tax deductible. Any amount is greatly appreciated. We are 501c3. We'll send you a letter. You'll get a receipt as well. But anything that you can do, and we also ask for your prayers for our organization, for our president, for our country, and for our angel family. So I appreciate you being out there, Karen, and everything that you're doing to spread the truth.
Well, we do our best, but you are doing amazing work. Maria Espinoza from the Remembrance Project, thanks for being with us. Thanks for being on Spouting Off. Hope to have you again soon. Thanks for the insights that you offered as well. Very,
very
important. Very important. Thanks for being with us. Well, that's about all we have time for this edition of Spouting Off. You can reach me through my website, www.karencataline.com. And all you got to know is spell Karen the normal way, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. You can reach me on Facebook or Twitter by the same name, and that's pretty much the only social media that I want to do. That's quite a bit. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be, oh my goodness, so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.